question was asked, we encounter different promises made by Hashem, and the question was asked, we find in Tanakh different examples that Hashem made promises, and when we look closely, it seems like the promises have loopholes, they have outs. If Hashem says, I won't bring a flood to destroy the world, but it doesn't mean he won't bring a tornado or a world war or a comet or a collision of planets. Hashem says, I won't bring the plagues of Egypt upon you, but one type of locust is okay because it wasn't all the locusts that were in Egypt. And so on. We find that Hashem gives us promises and yet it's not so clear that those promises are what do they do for us? So I want to take a step back and ask a different question. What was the need for the promise? Let's ask even more. There are two aspects we could analyze here. One aspect is God's word not good enough? Do I need a promise from Hashem? I understand a human being takes a vow. Now, he's showing you that he's taking his speech seriously. But by God, what difference does it make if he took a vow or not? Furthermore, if it was good for the world to bring a flood, then why would Hashem promise not to? If it was bad for the world to bring a flood, so then why would Hashem bring it anyways? Right? So before we analyze the question of what good does the promise do, we have to ask ourselves, well, what is the promise supposed to accomplish? Okay, fair question?
Yes.
Okay, so you asked me a question, I asked you a few. You answer those, and then we'll see if you still have a question.
Would it really be fair? I'm saying that there's the added side. We talked about it in Dov's Minim at one point, where God gets angry at Avraham when Avraham has doubts about his kids. And we said in Dov's Minim that my words created the world. They have the same power to create the whole universe. And you're going to doubt me? Well, I said it's going to happen. It's going to happen. So it does have it has a lot of weight as words.
So you strengthened the question.
I don't have an answer. Is it in Nazir or Kritot or another Masechta?
So there are many aspects to the answer here, and we'll go one route when really there are multiple routes we could take. What the purpose of a promise is discussed among the commentaries, and there are a few different answers given.
Of a person or of Hashem?
Of Hashem. Okay. Hashem's promise. Let's ask a different question for a second. Once upon a time, in the secular world, not the Jewish world, in the secular world, people believed in getting married. There was such a thing once upon a time. Once upon a time, it was considered irrespectable to have a child out of wedlock. Once upon a time, the world believed you're supposed to marry and have a family. And then the world started... I'm not joking.
Because I watch TV, 16 and pregnant.
So, the question would be, why? In Judaism, so we know we have a mitzvah to build a family. In Judaism, we know that... part of the mitzvah of procreation is to get married.
The basis of the Jewish people is the Jewish
family. We're supposed to get married. We're supposed to build a family. But why would a non-Jew get married? I was sitting on the dentist chair many years ago, and the dentist assistant, while my mouth was in the process of getting numb, starts talking to me and says to me, you know, I have a daughter, and she has a boyfriend, and they're living together for a year and a half now, and he likes her so much, and she keeps telling him, let's get married, and he keeps saying, no. What do you say I should do? I said, you know, it's very tough. Your daughter's in a situation where I don't see any reason he should marry her. Because anything he wants, he's getting. I mean, they're intimate partners. She makes his food for him. He has everything he wants from her. And he has no commitment. I mean, he's living the good life. Why should he marry her? What can she offer him that in marriage that she isn't already giving him without marriage? If she would keep halacha, I'm sorry to tell you, then he'd have every interest to get married to her, because there would be certain limitations on their relationship that he wouldn't be getting everything he wanted until they got married, and then that's a very good reason for a man to want to marry a woman. But if they've already moved in together and they're not keeping halacha, she's got a problem. She says to me, you know, you're so right. That's what I've been telling her all along. She doesn't keep halacha, but she says, I keep telling her, he has no interest in marrying you. Why? What isn't he getting the way life is now? So he's not getting a family. But now we'd ask the question, why would any man in his right mind get married? So you'll say, to have kids. So you could see there are many men who have had kids without getting married. So why would a man get married?
Maybe. I mean, if he knows the legal system, he got to get married if he wants to see his kids.
Okay.
If not married, he can say, you know, you're not going to see your kids. You have no commitment.
Taxes.
What? It's good for taxes.
And you still have to pay him money.
Oh, right. So, what happens when a man proposes marriage is a man is saying, I want to commit to the feelings I have now. Right now, I'm excited over you. Right now, I want to build something with you. I'm going to commit to that. Buddy, why are you committing? Think about it for a minute. If it's a good idea to commit to her, you don't have to commit. If it's going to be fun to be married to her, you don't have to commit. If it's going to be lousy to be committed to her, so then why do you want to commit yourself? You're committing yourself to who knows how much money and alimony and child support. Take it a day at a time. So suddenly you realize, no, there's a certain security in the relationship that comes from a commitment. If we're going day by day and every day it's a question whether we're continuing till tomorrow, we cannot build our relationship. So commitment gives security. Commitment says, I want to take away some of your worries so we can move our relationship forward. Have I answered your question, Benny? So now you'll say, but there's divorce, but there are loopholes, but there are ways out. No one said there aren't. If we look closely, every promise is addressing a fear. Noah doesn't want to have kids. He says, God, after what I saw here, why should I have kids? You obliterated the whole continent. So I'll build a family. I'll build the planet, and you'll obliterate it all over again. Hashem says, I promise, I won't do it again. So you'll say, but Hashem could do it a different way. But what was the point of the promise? The point was, in order to move forward in the relationship, Noah had a certain fear. He needed a certain guarantee. He needed a certain confidence that it was worth investing. The Jewish people left Mitzrayim. They were scared. They said, Ribon Shalom, we just saw what you could do to a country. You could decimate a whole country. Ribon Shalom says, stick to my path. Don't worry, I won't do any of that to you. Does Hashem say, I won't punish you? Is there any shortage of punishments Hashem could bring upon us? But that wasn't the point. We needed that security to move forward. So the promise, you're right, the promise has loopholes. Every promise has loopholes. Every contract has loopholes. Every agreement has a way out. The point of the promise is, I'm going to give you the confidence to overcome your fear to move forward in the relationship. I'm giving a very basic answer. There are much better, I shouldn't say better, but deeper answers. But on a very basic level, I think this is a very good answer.
The first part of my question having to do with the king might technically be a different question, but it seems like that there was a mayhem in the Jewish people.
It's a totally different question, though.
Totally different question.